Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. Today we are continuing to speak on how much God loves us in the area of finances. God's righteousness connected to finances. There's two things that I want to lay as a foundation today. And the first thing is out of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus clearly said that we can connect righteousness to finances. The other thing that I want to say is that sowing and reaping, I believe in it and I do believe that it works. But this is what I want to say, and we're going to look into that in the scriptures today. The first thing, sowing and reaping works between people, not between us and God. The only man that ever got it right to give a sacrifice or an offering or to sow the correct seed in order that a harvest could be produced from God was Jesus Christ. All the other people's seed was corrupt, because what we wanted to give was unrighteousness. We didn't want to sow holiness to reap holiness. We sowed sin to reap holiness. Jesus Christ sowed holiness to reap holiness. He sowed health to reap health. He sowed all the wealth that he had so that wealth could be harvested off what he's done. And that's what we're going to look into today. So don't say that I don't believe in sowing and reaping. I do believe in sowing and reaping, and I want you to believe in sowing and reaping, because without the principle of sowing and reaping, nobody could ever have had what they've got in Jesus Christ. The only thing that you must know is that you should not try to sow to get from God. You are wasting your time, you're wasting your effort, and what you're actually doing is you are deceiving yourself and others. So let's open the Bible in Matthew chapter 6. We're quickly going to look at the scripture where it says that we can connect righteousness to finances. 6 verses 33. Let's read from verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now isn't that powerful? So many times we think that the scriptures, when it comes to righteousness, are only for our right standing before God. People think that righteousness means we stand holy before God, and then there are principles by which we live, like sowing and reaping. If we don't give, then God cannot give towards us. We are righteous, we are bought with a price, we are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that makes us right before God. But the way we receive of Him, the way we get Him to bless us, is to take our righteousness and live a righteous life, and then by living that righteous life, God will bless us. That is not the truth. There are certain things in the Bible that you don't have to do. Like the Bible says that Jesus Christ was crucified on our behalf. No one of us ever has to die for the sin of anybody else. That's something that's written in the Bible. It's something that the whole Bible is all about, and we don't have to do that. The Bible says Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted of the devil. Now, the Bible doesn't, that doesn't mean that we must ask God that the Holy Spirit should lead us into temptation. For the Word of God clearly says, pray this way, lead us not into temptation. How, isn't that powerful? Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted of the devil, so that we can pray today and believe this prayer, which I believe was fulfilled already, lead us not into temptation. So, the fact that Jesus Christ was led into the desert only means that He was led into the desert to be tempted of the devil on our behalf. We cannot take a teaching like that and say we must go and be led of the Holy Spirit into the desert so that we can be tempted of the devil. That will be a false teaching and a false interpretation of Scripture. Now, the reason I say that is the fact that Jesus Christ gave His life so that we can be saved doesn't mean we must give our life so that others can be saved. He has sown His life so that He could reap our lives and eternal life in our bodies. Isn't that wonderful? Now, when it comes to sowing and reaping, we might think, you know, because Jesus has done it, we must do it. There's certain things that we don't have to do because Jesus has done it. There were certain things that Jesus has done so that we... And what he did that... Why he did that was he was working a certain principle. And the principle was this. He had to give so that it could be given unto him. Isn't that wonderful? He did it on our behalf. Now let's just quickly go to Luke chapter 6 and we just look at sowing and reaping. Remember what I say is I believe that sowing and reaping works between people but doesn't work between you and God. Sowing and reaping works between you and people. But it does not work between you and God. The only person who ever got right to sow right so that he could reap of God was Jesus. Because the sacrifice he gave was right. It was good enough. The seed that he has sown was good. If we come and we want to sow out of our own financial prosperity a seed to reap from God, that which we sow is not good enough for God. What God wants you to sow is everything. To the point that you don't even have one thread of clothes on your body. You have to give everything. You have to become poor by your giving in order to bring financial prosperity. And then you would have to give all of that and obey all of the law in order to bring prosperity into your life. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. So sowing and reaping works between somebody who can live 100% holy in every area of his life from birth until the day he dies and never even think one wrong thing. It will work between a person like that and God. Otherwise, forget it. You need a Savior. Hallelujah. You need somebody to save you from poverty. We are saved from poverty. We don't work our way out of poverty. We are saved out of poverty. And that's what Jesus Christ has come to give us. And we should tap into that. Thank you, my God. Let's just look at sowing and reaping quickly in Luke chapter 6. Let me read from verse... I think to get the context of this thing, we'll have to read from verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive the same. Just remember what we are reading here. It's between people. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. You see why what he says here, and this is wonderful, the context is how we should live towards people. He says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not. Because God is not a God that judges people. That's why it says, don't go and judge people. Set them free. Be merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now the context is not God judging you. The context is God judging people. He says, be merciful. Now how can we be merciful to God? We can't be merciful to God. The context is to be merciful towards people. He says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Judge not. And you shall not be judged. Who should we not judge? People. And who will not judge us? People. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. But badly, that scripture doesn't speak between people and between people. It speaks between God and people. It's not the truth. He says here, if you give to... From verse 33, it says clearly, do good, hoping for nothing in return. Do good to people. Lend to people. Give to people. Forgive people. Be merciful to people. Don't judge people. Then people will not judge you. Don't condemn people. Then the people will not condemn you. Forgive the people and they will forgive you. Give to the people. And it shall be given unto you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the measure that you meet between you and people, it shall be measured to you again. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Oh man, that is so, so powerful. So sowing and reaping works between us and people. That's what God said. He says, don't judge people, because I don't judge them. And if you judge them, they're going to judge you. And you might say, but that's not what it says. It's exactly what it says. Go and study it out. Go and ask any pastor that's been critical towards people, if the people judge him. If you tell people, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, you know what they do? They don't stop to do the things, they just hide it from you. And the moment you do something wrong, they'll tell you exactly what you do wrong, because you've judged them. You've condemned them, and they don't give unto you. If you give unto people, they will give unto you. If you are good to people, they'll be good to you. I've seen it so many times. I've looked at people that are sinners, that really, I mean, they're drunk most of the time, you know, over weekends, and they don't live a holy life, but they are good to others. And the fact that they are good to others, they'll help you when your car breaks down. They'll help you with this. They will sell some of their stuff to just give unto you. You get people that are just like that. And you know what? Doesn't matter what they do wrong. It's difficult to see the wrong they do because of all the good things they do. Because they don't judge you. They love you. They're just good. But they've got their faults. It's like people say, they've got their mistakes. But they do this, 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 and this, all the good things. And that's what he's talking about here. If you judge others, they're going to judge you. The measure with which you live and measure to others, they're going to measure to you. Let's just quickly read verse 38. Hallelujah. Give and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men, not God, men, give into your bosom, for with the measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I'm not going to turn there, but we can also look at Matthew chapter 13, where it speaks about the parable of the sower. That sower parable, the parable of the sower, where it speaks about 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold, does not speak about money that is given to anybody. If you go and read from verse 18, you will clearly see that he says, he who receives seed on the way, he says the sower is the Son of God, or the Son of Man, Jesus, who went out and he sowed some seed, he sowed the word. And those who heard the word and did not understand the word, there was no crop whatsoever. And if you read on, it comes to the 100, 60, and 30-fold, what it says is, those that hear the word and understand the word, there will be the word will bring forth fruit in their lives. It doesn't speak about money. So let's not connect that scripture with finances, because it doesn't speak about finances. If you want to connect that scripture with finances, it will be like that. Those who hear the word of the kingdom and of how righteous they are and understand that righteousness, finances will be shown into their life because of the word which he heard. That's the only way, if you want to connect it to finances, if you want to connect that righteousness scripture to finances, that's the way it's supposed to work. You cannot say, you see, if you sow seed and you sow money, you must sow into good soil, and it's some type of a ministry, and if you sow into that good ministry, then you're going to reap a lot of finances depending on the quality of the ministry. If you think that way, do you know what pressure you put on preachers? Do you know what pressure you put on ministries? Because you come and you give money, and I don't know why people teach it that way. I think they just don't know the whole truth about the finances thing. When they teach that, they just put themselves under pressure. I remember when I was teaching that, I felt under such a pressure. I had a church with poor, poor people, and they would come and they would give into the church, and I said, you're going to reap and you're going to get this lot of money. And you know what happened? They got nothing. Now, the fault wasn't with God, it was with what I taught them. They struggled, they just got nothing. And after a while, they were thinking, is the soil that I sow into, this man of God, isn't he perhaps into some secret sin or something? There might be something wrong, that's why. And eventually the money goes to all the big ministries because we think they're successful. And so many people don't receive and get hurt. because they don't understand the principle of sowing and reaping the way it is done by Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Now that's Luke chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we're also going to look at John chapter 4. Just looking a little bit at sowing and reaping and what Jesus Christ said. Let's read from verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages, and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entering into their labors. Now that is amazing when we look at sowing and reaping that way. The way I believe sowing and reaping worked was like this. In the Old Testament, there were people that gave their lives to bring forth the scriptures, to prophesy. The prophets of the Old Testament, you can read of them in Matthew 23, which were murdered by the offspring of the devil, which was the law mentality that worked in the lives of people, which brought forth death. They murdered the prophets. The people in Hebrews chapter 11 that died without receiving the promise, those type of guys, they have sown. Looked at John the Baptist. You know, he gave his life. He gave everything so that to make a way for the Messiah to come. And then there was the Messiah who sowed the ultimate sowing that there could be. The Bible said that he gave his life so that we might be saved. So what did he sow? He had to sow his life. If we look at sowing and reaping to get something from God, you've got to sow the way Jesus has sown. What did he sow? He sowed a holy life, a righteous life. You have to sow righteousness in order to reap righteousness. We cannot come as sinners and in our sin sow finances out of our imperfect state and think that's going to produce something of God. That seed is corrupt. It's not full of God. The only way you can sow in order to reap righteousness, you must sow 100% holy life. You cannot reap off seed that's not good. Seed only produces after its kind. If we look at 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9, the Bible says that he was rich, he became poor. In other words, he gave all of his wealth away, so that we through his poverty, through what he's done, might become rich. So what did Jesus Christ sow? The perfect seed, the way that was needed for us to reap the financial prosperity that Jesus Christ has for us, that the Father has for us, was for somebody to be as wealthy as what God is, to give everything away to the point they didn't have one thread of clothes on his body, hanging naked upon a cross in order to bring wealth and prosperity into this world. Your giving is not enough. Your giving is not enough. You can forget it. It's not what God requires of you. Don't think that your righteous deed can bring forth financial prosperity. If you must measure up what you are doing in your giving to what Jesus Christ has done in his giving, what your giving is like filthy rags compared to his giving. So let's enter into prosperity because of what he has sown financially. Let's enter into prosperity through what he has done. Let's not try, and I know these words sound harsh, but make a mockery out of what he has sown by coming with our seed. You don't have enough. You cannot give a perfect enough seed in order to produce finances. You might name the seed, claim the seed, water the seed. All of that, I believe, is just something that quiets our minds so that we can come to a point where we say, well, I believe I've done enough now. I can receive out of the goodness of God. And then we do receive out of the goodness of God because He is a merciful God. If we call upon Him, then we shall be saved. So many times we do things by the works of the law and call upon Him, receive of Him because He's a merciful God. And then we say our principle brought this into being. And that is not the truth. Let's not look at principles between us and God. I do believe that the kingdom of God did function on principles. And the principle was this. There was a law. One man had to do that law. One man brought that law mentality into the world, which is by what you know, knowing right and wrong, good and evil, you must become like God. And all that he received out of that was death. That was one man through disobedience of one. Sin came into the world. And then there was one that had to obey the whole law. That's why Jesus Christ said, I've come to obey the law. He had to obey the whole law so that through his obedience, many might be made righteous. Through the obedience of one, many was made righteous. Through the sowing seed of one, many was made wealthy. Through one man who took sickness and sin upon him, what happened? We became healthy because of him. Through one man who has sown his life. Through one who sown his life, many can become alive out of the dead. Isn't it? Hallelujah. He was the first born out of the dead. That means there's a second, third, and a billionth born out of the dead. Maybe I'm number 1,500,000 and whatever. Jesus Christ gave his life that we might live. The Father gave his Son to reap, to have a wonderful harvest. So God is the one who does the sowing and reaping. Jesus Christ did the sowing and we are reaping of what he has sown. That's what it says in John here clearly. It says, let me read it again. And herein is that saying true. One sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that whereunto you bestowed no labor. Another man labored and you are entering into their labors. Now you might say, no, Batty, this means that I have brought salvation unto people and therefore you're just going to preach, people are going to get saved and that's fruit unto eternal life. I do believe that's what that scripture says. I do believe that. But when Jesus spoke about sowing and reaping, that's what he said. He gave his life. He gave his wealth. He gave everything so that life could come unto him, unto us. That's what he gave. He labored and others are entering into their labor. Now, if we preach to people, by the stripes of Jesus they are healed, what are they going to receive? Healing. If we preach that by Jesus that gave his life we can receive life, what are they going to get? Eternal life. But why can't we preach that by Jesus giving all financially, you can be rich as well, and by just believing that? Why do we have to work a principle? Let's know that Jesus has worked the principle and preached the gospel accordingly, and we will see the same power, the same grace that's taking somebody from death, a state of being lost, and he places them into the kingdom of light, that takes them out of darkness and puts them into light, that takes them off being a sinner to be a co-heir with Christ. They preach that same gospel when it comes to finances. And you know what? When you preach the gospel, you'll get the gospel results. God confirms His word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So if we want to see true signs, wonders, and miracles when it comes to finances, let's preach the financial prosperity by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Believe that for yourself. Give out of that mentality. He's already given to me. I am prosperous. And the reason why I give is because I'm generous. Not because I want. The Bible says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And now, because the Lord's my shepherd and I've got no needs, I give out of who I am and my trust in Him. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Let's read that scripture once again. Verse 37. And herein is that saying true. One sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Remember, John the Baptist, the prophets, they've labored, but they didn't see the promise. Jesus Christ did the greatest work for us. He has sown everything so that we can enter into His prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. You know the grace of God, that He was rich and he became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. Romans 5 verses 2. By faith we have got access into this grace by which we are saved. Hallelujah. By faith, we've got access into this grace. What grace? The grace that makes us wealthy. I've got good news for you. Sowing and reaping, your sowing and reaping into the kingdom of God, compared to the grace of God, is powerless, man. The grace of God can make you so much more wealthy and bring so much more wealth into the kingdom of God than what we could ever imagine and do by our own power. Hallelujah. Let's enter into the higher glory financially. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Listen to all of these sessions, otherwise you're not going to have the balance on giving. Thank you for tuning into the next broadcast, and God bless you.